You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So around, up to 8,000 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
Aotearoa's progress in reducing smoking has slowed for Māori, Pacific and European adolescents, and vaping could be the reason, according to research published in the Lancet Regional Health, Western Pacific. The study, conducted by researchers from the University of Otago, Auckland and Sydney, along with the Daffodil Centre in Australia, analysed population-level data for almost 600,000 Year 10 students aged 14 to 15 years old. The students were surveyed between 2003 and 2024 as part of the Action on Smoking and Health Year 10 survey. Using interrupted time series analysis, the researchers compared smoking trends from 2003 to 2009 with those from 2010 to 2024, when vaping became increasingly common. They found rates of regular smoking among 14 to 15-year-olds declined significantly for Māori, Pacific, and European and Asian adolescents. However, these declines in smoking slowed for Māori and Pacific and European youth after vaping emerged in 2010. I spoke to Dr. Lucy Hardy from the University of Auckland about these findings and what the response needs to look like from policymakers in order to mitigate the predicted harms. So I saw the press release which talked about this new study around youth vaping and its implications for the health of young people and also the widening inequalities. I wonder if we could start off by you talking me through what the researchers' findings are.
Sure. So there's this idea, or in New Zealand we've sort of been promoted this idea that vaping is sort of beneficial for reducing smoking. So what we did is we looked at a cohort of young people. So this is our year 10 students, so they're 14 and 15 years old. And we looked at the rate of decline in smoking before vaping came on the scene. And then we compared that to what happened to the rate of decline after vaping came in. And if vaping was helping to reduce smoking among young people, then we would expect it to accelerate faster. But in fact, we saw that it slowed. So that means that instead of helping to speed up a reduction in smoking, it's actually potentially hindered that progress. And the other thing we found with this particular study is that we stratified it by ethnicity, and we found that for Māori and Pacific, the impact of this of vaping on health and youth is that... Sorry, can I say that one again? We found for Māori and Pacific, the impact of nicotine, tobacco and vaping is felt disproportionately compared to non-Māori or non-Pacific young people.
I wanted to get an understanding on what that impact looks like. Is that in terms of physiological health? Is that socially, economically?
Yes. So the first part is that Māori and Pacific have higher rates of smoking in this age group already, so there's already that at play. But there's also the fact that more Māori and Pacific have taken up vaping compared to non-Māori and Pacific. So it means that smoking rates are higher, but also the vaping rates are higher. So as a full picture, we have more Māori and Pacific young people experiencing impacts from nicotine products than non-Māori, so that highlights the inequities between the groups. In terms of sort of impact, the first one that comes to mind is really that nicotine is a highly addictive substance, and there's evidence that young people are experiencing this addiction, and sort of being caught in that sort of addiction cycle where you're craving and then having to find the nicotine to satisfy your withdrawal can really impact daily functioning. You know, if you're sitting in a classroom or trying to concentrate, but you're also thinking about needing that product, then that can really impact your life. It's also expensive, and this study is about 14 and 15-year-olds. So they often don't have any jobs. So you can sort of imagine that once you're in that cycle and then you can't obtain that product or it is very difficult to do so, then it sort of creates this stressful environment for young people. There are also other things like vaping is associated with asthma and cough, other mental health problems, and also subsequent smoking, alcohol use, a range of things. One of the other key things about vaping is that we just don't have long-term evidence. We just really don't know and possibly won't see for decades what it actually is doing to people's bodies. So there's a range of things at play.
Now, that's a really interesting tension. I guess this question comes in two parts. The first is, what are the similarities that you see between the advent and subsequent addiction of smoking and cigarettes, cigarette usage, and this new widespread use of vaping? What are the similarities and differences you see in both of those trends and behaviors? And then the second part of the question is around how we respond to something that we don't know the long-term impacts of. So what does the public health response look like? What does the regulatory response look like if there is not that long-term, longitudinal evidence to give us a grounding on the positive and negative impacts?
Yeah. So with respect to the patterns of use and the sort of similarities and differences, I think one of the big differences with vaping compared to smoking is that it's really discreet. And so because the flavours and smells are really pleasant, you can't necessarily, it's not that noticeable. So if you were to light up a cigarette in a classroom, for instance, everyone would know instantly. But if you take a puff on a vape, it sort of smells like it could be a perfume or, someone sprayed it on some floral deodorant or something like that. And so it's really discreet. So what that means is that you can use it in a more constant type of way. So we don't really understand fully with the research what that means for young people, but sort of is a logical leap, I suppose, that if you're able to access nicotine and you're puffing on it constantly, then potentially the strength of addiction is even stronger. And some of these products are really strong. And some of the vapes have, 10,000 puffs. So it's plausible that even if a young person gets hold of one of these, by the time they've finished with it, 10,000 puffs later, they may have an established addiction. So I think that's one of the key things that we don't know that much about, but it's definitely a concern for public health. And I guess the response, all around the world, people have done different things. So in Australia, they've got a pharmacy-only model. So if you want to vape, to quit smoking, you have to speak to someone at the pharmacy. So that's kind of more of an emphasis on using vapes to quit smoking. Whereas in New Zealand, it's absolutely everywhere. Your local dairy, gas station, alcohol outlet, there's just so many places that you can get it. And I guess the danger of that is, what will happen with smoking. What we saw with smoking is that eventually we'll get enough evidence and then we'll make a move. And I think it's just been really unwise that we haven't taken a more cautious approach to this, and our young people are really suffering because of that.
Now, for the young people out there who are suffering because of decisions or inadequate protections put in place for them, what do you think the response could look like from community, particularly to deal with, addictive substances more broadly, but particularly focusing in and honing in on vaping?
Yeah. I think I was at a conference in the weekend, actually, and there was a lot of school nurses there, and they were saying that they just don't have resources and supports for that. So in New Zealand, there's just been such an emphasis on vaping is great for reducing smoking, and we've just forgotten about this other piece of the puzzle, which is the implications for young people. So we really need our authorities to come out with some guidance. about how to support people, and we also need educational resources, and we need our policymakers to make some really strong changes in this space. I think as a, you know, just your average Joe on the street, we see all these vaping stores. It's very obvious that there's a problem, but we really need our policymakers to accept that and make some big changes.
That was Dr. Lucy Hardy on the effect that widespread vape usage is having on young people in Aotearoa, particularly Māori and Pacifica young people.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.